you have your Bibles today, we're going to be looking at two parts of Scripture. One finds in Luke chapter 8, and the other is going to be in Matthew chapter 9. And today, basically what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go through a story in Scripture. And once we get to the end of that story in Scripture, then I'm just going to let you know what that Scripture said. We're into a new year. And like every new year, we look to see what is God going to do this year. Because there has to come a time when the Spirit of God moves afresh in the nation and upon the people of God. And we've got to lift our eyes up for expectation of what God has done and what God is expecting us to do. And so in the story here, it's going to be the story of Jairus, starting with him. And it's found in Luke chapter 8, and verse 40. And now before this event, Jesus had been over in the Gadarenes. And we don't know the story very well in the Gadarenes. There was a man bound in chains. The Bible tells us he was up in the hills, in the graveyards. Any old Testament, when you were up in the hills, you were up in the high places. And this man, he would cut himself. And that's what you got with the prophets of Baal. Remember with Elijah and Gabriel, they were cutting themselves that the blood would flow. And so Jesus demonstrated his power and brought deliverance to this man. And the unfortunate thing is the people came out, saw a man in his right mind, but didn't want Jesus in the place. It's strange, isn't it? You see a person who's totally bound up. Everybody would stay away from this person. And they come and they see him in his right mind, a normal person, and they say, Jesus, we don't want you here. And there's reasons for that. The Bible tells us very clearly, people love darkness rather than light. But there are stories in the Bible where the power of God is released. And here we see it in Jairus. And I just want you to just read through the verses and we'll just go straight through and just notice some of the things. And it says, and it came to pass that when Jesus was returned from the Galilee, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. One of the things about Scripture, the people were always glad to hear Jesus. Jesus' problems wasn't with the people. Jesus' problem was with religious people.
Yeah.
It's always been the same. Always will be the same. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of a synagogue. And he fell down at his feet, Jesus' feet. So Jairus, he is a ruler of a synagogue. So he's in an important position. The book of Matthew says he fell. Not Luke is saying he fell at his feet. Matthew says he worshipped Jesus. Now you picture this. Jairus, he is the leader of the synagogue. Where does all the problems Jesus come from? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, people in synagogues. So this man is coming and he is laying down his career. He is laying down everything before Jesus in front of the crowds. And he starts to worship Jesus. In front of everybody here, so everybody would have known Jairus. He was an important man. Everybody knew who he was. And he comes and he bows down at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says he worshipped Jesus. Now, God looks for worshippers. God looks for worshippers. God looks for people who, doesn't matter who's about them, or what position they have, or what people are going to think about them, God looked for those who will come and fall at his feet and worship him. And Jesus comes and he falls and he worships Jesus. And the Bible tells us the reason why he came. He came to beseech Jesus because he's got a daughter who's 5 years old and she's at the point of death. And so as far as Jesus is concerned, the one thing that matters to him is his daughter, and he's going to pay any price whatsoever to see his daughter restored. And he has no hope. There's nobody to help him. There's no physician. There's no place that he can go and they're going to help to save the life of his daughter. There's only one person, and that is Jesus. And so he comes in front of everybody, falls down at his feet, and worships Jesus, and beseeches Jesus that he would come and heal his daughter. But it's quite interesting because the Bible goes on to say, and behold, there came the man Jesus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was fully dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now this is one of these things. You've got an emergency. The last thing you want is all the people around about you. The last thing that you're looking for is all people to be stopping Jesus from walking along the street. And the crowds are gathering around Jesus. Yet the man is desperate. And he would be thinking to himself, I wish these crowds would just get away and let Jesus get to my daughter. Time's of essence. I don't have time to wait here. And you can imagine the emotions that this man went through. And the Bible says, and a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. And all of a sudden, in amongst the crowd, we hear about a woman. And this woman has an issue of blood for 12 years. So all the life of this woman is the same as the life of the 12-year-old girl. So this young girl for 12 years, this woman's had that disease for 12 years. And of course the woman is there, and the Bible tells us she spent everything. She tried the physicians. Nobody could help her. And she's come, and she's in the middle of the crowd. And all the crowd are hustling and bustling. You know, nothing changes. You get a famous person in all the crowd, what do they want to do? Touch them. Oh, touch them. Oh. Because, and all the crowd around about Jesus. Now this woman, he comes, and she says, and she came behind him, this is Jesus, and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Because we know what this woman said, and we know what this woman believed. If I could but touch the hem of his garment, I know I would be healed. But you think about it, all the crowd are there. All the crowd are touching Jesus. None of them were healed. All the crowd are all enamored by Jesus. They're caught up with Jesus. They want to touch Jesus. They want to hear what he's going to say. They want to know what miracles he's going to do. But they're not looking for it in themselves. But this woman in the midst of it said, I know if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed. And so she's fighting her way through the multitude. But Jesus is saying, multitude, get out of the way. And so you've got this conflict that's going on. A man who is desperate to see his daughter healed. And the crowd just so captivated. And then the midst of a woman who's got faith, I need to touch him because he's more than hope of being healed. And the Bible goes on to say that she touched him and the blood that was flowing stopped flowing. And immediately she was healed. And it's interesting. And Jesus said, who touched him? Who touched me? The dead disciples are saying, Lord, everybody's touching you, but do you mean who touched you? See, there was a touch of faith. It wasn't just a lovely touch. Somebody came to get something from Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus always knows when power is released from him. Everybody can be touching Jesus, but he knows the person that touches that releases the power from him. And Jesus is very gracious, because when all denied Peter and Nathan, when Matthew said, Master, multitudes wronged thee and pressed thee, and now says, who touched you? But Jesus says, somebody have touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. When you touch Jesus, touching Jesus, there's an old chorus that says, touching Jesus is all that matters. Touching Jesus, there's nothing else important. Touching Jesus is all that matters. It doesn't matter where your need is. Doesn't matter where you are. Touching Jesus. And the Bible says, he says, who touched me? So Jesus has given opportunity for this woman to come and testify what God has done in her life. Jesus could easily come down and say, here's a man who touched me. Jesus could tell what was going through the sorts of people. So it's not that Jesus didn't know who touched them. But he's gracious, he's kind, and he says, who touched me? And the woman saw that she could not be hid. I'm sure Jesus could turn around with his eyes, and his eyes could easily catch that woman and show, he knows I touched him. And the woman saw that she was not hid. She came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. You think of all the people in the crowd that may have had different illnesses or different ailments, but never one of them thought about, I've touched Jesus, I can be healed. But at the same time, we've got Jesus. Oh, I don't want to get in testimony in front of people. I've got a daughter that needs to be kept alive. I don't have time to stand here and listen to women's testimonies before the crowd. Because he has got his daughter, he is so anxious. And all the people and all the testimonies, what they do, all they're doing to his parents is to send a distraction from him getting Jesus to his daughter. And so he's passing along here. And Jesus said unto this woman that was healed, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And just as he spoke these words, he said, and while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. So his greatest fear happens at the moment of the testimony of this lady's healing. In the middle of this woman testifying, I've been healed by Jesus after this illness for 12 years. And all the crowd are listening. The servant comes and says, Jairus, your daughter is dead. And you can imagine how deflated he would be, and how disappointed and how angry that if it wasn't for this crowd, if it wasn't for this woman, if it wasn't for all this commotion, I could have had Jesus at my house and he could have prayed for my daughter. And one of the hardest things that you can experience is this. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Believe only. Don't fear, Jesus. But how can you not? You think in your own situation, your daughter's dead. The crowd there, all you can think about. And Jesus said to him, don't fear. In the midst of death itself, Jesus says to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. And belief is quite interesting. Because the lady was healed, wasn't her, her faith. In the Old Testament, Habakkuk, you read about a person that talks about his faith. God has to do something, so they do something personally. In the story here, you get, thy faith has made you whole. But you go further on the scripture, there's a different faith. Because Jesus gives us faith to believe. Jesus gives us faith so that we respond by his faith. And so this woman, when Jesus heard it, he answered saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the baby. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. So they come to the house, and you have all these people. They all come in wailing and weeping, and oh, she's dead, and oh, and the whole place is full of depression and what have you. And Jesus says, she's not dead. She's sleeping. What does that tell you? If you read the scripture is very clear. Death is defined as sleeping. You may be dead in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of eternity, in the eyes of going into leaving your body, you're still sleeping to be resurrected. Some are resurrected to life, some are resurrected to damnation. And of course, what happens when Jesus said, she's only sleeping? They laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And what does he do? He puts them on. He puts them in. Unbelief. Mockery.
Yeah.
You get put out. You never see the miracles of God. And they are all thrown away and get out. And the Bible says that Jesus took a number of his disciples. And he took them out, and he took her, and went in, and this is the girl beside them. Took her by the hand, and was called, saying, nay, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. And Jesus goes in to Jairus' daughter. And says, damsel, arise. Wake up. And the Bible tells us, Jairus, he is absolutely astonished. He has come from a place of total panic, trying to get Jesus to come. And he's been so frustrated and angry and all the commotion and testimonies and pulling his hair out because he's been desperate to get Jesus before his daughter died. But Jesus said to him, won't you believe? See, Jesus is a resurrection. Martha, talking about the resurrection, says, we know at the end time, but Jesus said, ah, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And in that moment in that house, Jesus, who is the leader of the synagogue, that sees the power of God being manifested in his daughter, and he sees a life which is dead brought to life. And Jesus gives them the command that he gives to so many people, keep it quiet. You ever wonder why Jesus keeps saying to everybody, heal lepers, keep it quiet. Heal people, keep it quiet. Jesus is not out to get faith. He's come to do the Father's will. He's come to live down his life. And so, we go from here, we go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 26. And the big prophet died. So they left him just gone, but when the people were put at door, he went in, this is verse 25, and took him by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all the land. And when Jesus departed then, so this is the story. This is an hour in the life of Jesus. The multitudes come to him. And it starts off with James. And then there's the woman with the issue of blood. Then he eventually gets to the hand of Jairus. And he raises the daughter from life. And then he steps out from that house. And when Jesus departed then, two blind men follows him. And crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. Do you know that's a great revelation? The Pharisees, the Sadducees never saw Jesus as the son of David. But here you've got two blind men, and they are starting to lift their voices, and they're shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on us. They recognized who Jesus was. And it's the thing about the scripture. You don't need to be hiding in the religious circles. You can be the ordinary person in the street. You can have diseases and things, and people walk by you and ignore you. But that's where we start one of the other instances which we read about Jesus when he was heading to Jerusalem. One of the blind men cried out, and people are saying, I've got time for you. But you see, Jesus always has time for individuals. And some of the most unlikely people are the ones who get the revelation from God. And it is amazing. They guys, two blind men, get revelation that the Pharisees and Sadducees never got. That Jesus was the son of David. And they cried for mercy. And what happened? And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yeah, we believe it. Why do we you believe it? Well, because you're the son of David. You're the promised Messiah. You've already been demonstrating your power. Because Moses said that there will be a prophet unto you. And this prophet will come and assign him to work as a miracle. He said, you've been demonstrating them. You're the son of David. Yeah, but believe. You can open your eyes. And what does he do? Then touch ye the eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, Hear it, no man more. Here we are then. All the miracles. And Jesus keeps saying, Don't tell anyone. You go your way to the priest, show yourselves, but don't go away and spread it on us. I don't want you to. And then it goes on. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. And as they went out, just the same as they went out from Jairus' daughter's house, Jairus' house, the blind men seen them and followed them. Now, as they went out, behold, they brought unto him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marvelled, saying, I was never so seen in Israel. So here we have a continuation. Jesus is never getting the Lord's break. It's just going on from one set of people to the next. Jesus is here. And this time it's a dumb man. And he brought to Jesus, and this man needed deliverance. And you always notice this in scripture, when somebody needs deliverance, deliverance always takes place before then Jesus heals. And the unclean spirit was cast out, and Jesus healed the dumb man. So what's the significance of all of these stories? We have our vision for the church. We have what we aim for, what we're going for. And what we have here is a demonstration of what you should be looking for to do. The woman with the issue of blood, she was healed. Jairus' daughter, that was a miracle. The opening of the eyes was a sign. The unstopping of the dawn was a wonder. Healing, medical signs and wonders, all within the space of our demonstrated for Jesus. And Jesus' calling is for disciples to walk in his ways. Because the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. See, the gospel is a gospel of power and a gospel of authority. The gospel is, our God is righteous and our God is holy, and you need to be saved, because you only stand before our God who is holy. You can't stand before him in your sin and your condition. But you've also got a God who is merciful and gracious and kind, who comes to release the burden of people and to heal people and deliver people, because he is a gracious and kind God. And in that 1 hour, Jesus demonstrated to us there are healings, there are miracles, there are signs and wonders. This is what happens when the word of God is preached. And so as we come into this year, we are looking to see a greater impact of the power of God. You know, just a few weeks ago, upped into a man in the town centre, and it was back about maybe 12 years. And that period of time, you know, he had major illnesses, major diseases. And the one of the things that the doctors could really help him. And the doctor at the time said, he tried to touch this one. He had bipolar, depression, and all of these things. And one night he came into the building and we prayed for him. And from that one night, the liver started flowing. And what is it? He's involved in ministry now, working with different people. But all started with that encounter with the power of God getting delivered from bad people. And it took a process of time, because they had to go to the doctor's office to start to come off with all the medication, because they no longer vital. So you see, the transformation when somebody encounters the power of God and their life is changed. And so we go into this year to preach the gospel, to declare that the God whom we serve is a God of power and authority, and a God who loves us and cares for us. That's why Jesus died. He died to save the sinner. He died to save the lost. He died that we might be born again by his blood and brought into his kingdom. But we're brought into his kingdom for a purpose. That we might show the glory of our God, the testimony of what God has done for us, and be carriers of his presence. We want to be carriers of his presence. You know, and when you're a carrier of his presence, you know, we're living in these days where they want to ban you from praying too close to certain places. But if you're a carrier of his presence, you don't need to pray when you walk past these places. But wherever you go, you carry his presence. His presence disturbs the spirit world. When Jesus was ministering, one of the things you will always notice, the unclean spirits are already identified who Jesus was. People were blind. People still didn't know who he was. But all the unclean spirits, hear the Son of God. We know who you are. So if you carry his presence, don't you know that the demonic they know who you are? They're not blind. They're not like people. They know when you carry the presence of God. Come on. And we want to be people who carry the presence of God and know the presence of God in our lives. So healing, medical signs and wonders. These are things for the church to be doing. So Father, we just come today and we thank you that you are the God of miracles. Salvation belongs to you. But you're gracious, you're kind, and you do miracles. And you take your people and you use them as channels for your glory. And we're praying this year, Father, for everyone here, that everyone will be used as a channel for the glory of the living Christ. And however you use people to reach the lost, to see people being healed, delivered, Father, as long as all the glory goes to you. And so we give you the honor today. And we thank you that you have given us a good word, you have given us the Holy Spirit. We don't walk in ignorance, but we have the God of all eternity with us. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.